Welcome to the Eastern Airlines Radio Show, coming to you from Jacksonville, Florida, West Palm Beach, Florida, somewhere in Kansas. Our hosts who plan to be with us tonight are Margaret Bars, Neil Holland from Jacksonville area, Bill Joseph from Grand Junction, Colorado, Jan Boscai in Delray Beach, Florida, and me, Jim Hart, in West Palm Beach, Florida. This show is our 50th consecutive radio broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed the holidays with family and friends and will enjoy our program of this evening's presentation. Our skit tonight was an actual flight taken back in the late 50s by one of our hosts, Howard Munch. Call us tonight at either of our two phone numbers, 213-816-1611 or 877-572-1861, which is toll-free. You can also send us a message on the chat feature of the webpage you are logged onto. Either way, we want to hear from you. We try to bring you stories from Eastern's past, which we call the Eastern Files, from those who participated in its history. Our lines are open during our program if you want to call us. Howard Miller greets Eastern stewardess Luann Wiggins in the waiting area at New York's Idlewild International Airport just prior to boarding at the gate.
Well, hello, Luann, my favorite Eastern stewardess. I see you're on my trip again to Miami. How is your New Year going?
Well, hey, Mr. Miller, so nice to see you again. And what do you mean, your trip? I bid for this trip every month, and I'm senior enough to hold it on bid, especially during the winter months, with that Miami layover and 80-degree temperatures. I'm no dummy. You know, you seem to be on this flight every time I work it. Oh, wait, I forgot. You have a business in Miami or the Caribbean, don't you? My New Year so far is going really well, being that it's only 2 days. How's yours?
Well, I'm certainly happy to hear that. And I hope the next 363 days will go just as well and that I can fly with you many more times this year. My business takes me to Brazil, and I do have a connection with Pan Am and Miami. The trouble is, I have to wait 4 hours for my connection. Sure wish your airline flew all the way down to Rio de Janeiro, and you were my stewardess.
Oh, Mr. Miller, you say the nicest and the truest things. But just to let you know, you'll be flying on our newest constellation today. It's called the Lockheed 1049G, or better known as the Super G. And you have two of Eastern's finest crew members. Captain Dick Merrill is your captain.
Luann, you said two of Eastern's finest. Is Captain Eddie the co-pilot?
No, Mr. Miller. I meant me, Luann, and Captain Merrill. We have Captain Eddie along with us sometimes, but he would never be the co-pilot. He's in a league all his own. But he does like to fly with Captain Merrill, though, as do all of us. Now, we'll be boarding in just a few minutes, and I wonder if you could do me a favor and take a seat next to this little unaccompanied girl. She seems so depressed and might be afraid of flying. I kind of believe this is her first flight. Now, we've got her at a window seat so she can see the scenery and hopefully take her mind off any, you know, ill will conceived thoughts. We'll put you in the aisle seat next to her. Now, her name is Agnes, and she's only 10 years old. So maybe you can engage her into a conversation and find out a little of her background. I think there's been some sort of breakup in her family life. I'll introduce you to her once we board. She'll be boarded first, of course.
Sure, Luann. I'll be happy to entertain her. And maybe she'll even tell me a little about where she's going and why she's traveling alone. I hope it's not just to visit relatives.
The newest constellation in the Eastern fleet is now ready for boarding. It has a seating capacity of 100. It flies at a speed of 310 miles an hour. The Super G carries enough fuel to fly 3,500 miles, and it's powered by four Curtiss Wright 3350 turbo compound engines that develop over 3,000 horsepower each. The maximum takeoff gross weight is 137,500 pounds. The aircraft assigned to this flight was delivered to Eastern only 3 months earlier and still has that new smell to it. She's a gracefully big aircraft at 114 feet long with 123-foot wingspan. The wings are actually longer than Orville Wright's first flight of 120 feet. The passengers are walking out to the aircraft now as they board their three-and-a-half-hour flight to Miami. Let's rejoin them in the luxurious cabin of the Super G.
Mr. Miller, this is Agnes, and she's going to Miami to be with her uncle. I hope you'll answer any of her questions about our flight and what can be seen from that large window she has to look out.
Hi, young lady. My name is Howard Miller, and I'll be sitting next to you until we get to Miami, where I have to get another plane to go to South America, and I don't know exactly. I think you're going to meet someone. I believe it's your uncle. I hope you're really going to like flying, and who knows, one day you may even become an Eastern stewardess like Luann here.
Little Agnes is quiet and takes out of her little carry-on bag some colorful cloth material and some knitting needles and immediately starts to work on the small project gathered in her lap.
Hello, my name is Mary Wordsmith. I am a missionary going down to South America to work with orphaned children. Maybe I can help with little Agnes.
Nice meeting you, Miss Wordsmith. I'm Howard Miller, and I, too, am flying down to Rio de Janeiro on business. However, I think Miss Agnes and I will get along just fine. Maybe she can tell me what she likes to do, and I also know a few in-flight games we can play.
Welcome aboard Eastern Airlines Flight 50. The aircraft you're flying in is the Lockheed Constellation Super G. I'm your captain, Captain Dick Merrill. This is the newest aircraft in our fleet, and we hope you really enjoy your flight to Miami with us. We'll be flying along the eastern seaboard of the United States, and my co-pilot, Jack Lambie, will point out scenic and historical places along the way. Our flight engineer is Ed Graham. Senior stewardess Luann Wiggins will introduce her cabin crew during her passenger briefing. The weather is great, from snow and 29 degrees here in New York to a balmy 80 degrees in Miami. And just 3.5 hours from now, you'll be enjoying what Miami and South Florida offer the best: sunshine and warm temperatures. Now, folks, sit back, relax, and enjoy your flight with us today.
Oh, goodness me. Why do they serve alcohol on these flights? Do they not know that alcohol can destroy you? It destroyed my marriage. I decided to become a missionary, and I felt I was needed to do missionary work with children in South America.
Miss Wordsmith continues her steady output of conversation about her life, its low points and its high points, but mostly low points. Lunch service is now carried out by the three stewardesses assigned to Flight 50, consisting of chicken cordon bleu or steak, scalloped lyonnaise potatoes, broccoli, hot rolls, and a cheesecake dessert. Yum, yum. Little Agnes does not look up as stewardess Luann offers her a lunch, but continues her knitting as if she did not wish to be bothered by anyone. Howard senses there is more to her unresponsiveness than just being alone in this aircraft.
Agnes, my dear, aren't you going to have lunch? It's really very good, especially the cheesecake.
Agnes, I'll put your lunch aside and keep it warm for you, and when you get hungry, you just reach up here and push the call button, and I'll bring it to you. Mr. Miller, if she can't reach up and push the call button, will you assist her?
I certainly will, Luann. I'll be going back to the lounge section Captain Merrill mentioned earlier, and maybe partake of a few beverages, but I'll be back. By that time, Agnes will have time. Maybe you'll want to eat her lunch.
Mr. Miller makes his way to the lounge in the rear of the cabin to have a rusty nail. This area of the Constellation Super G also has the laboratories for this area of the airplane. Several passengers are enjoying a game of bridge and have invited Mr. Miller to share a hand or two. After several rusty nails are consumed, the captain informs the passengers to return to their seats and fasten their seat belts as he expects an area of turbulent air in their descent into Miami. With the help of a railing of headrest and seat armrest, Mr. Miller navigates his way back to his seat, fastens his seat belt. No sooner than he straps himself in, Miss Wordsmith begins to chastise Mr. Miller about his drinking habit.
Mr. Miller, you seem to enjoy your beverage of choice, as I witnessed on several occasions. While visiting the lavatory, you were being served with alcoholic beverages served by the stewardess. You must break this evil habit and return to a more virtuous life.
Mr. Miller, why did you leave me? You were gone for a long time.
Oh, my goodness, I'm getting it from all sides. Well, sweetheart, you didn't seem to want to talk to me, and I thought you would feel more comfortable if I left you for a while. I thought perhaps you'd been told not to talk to strangers, but I'm glad that you don't consider me a stranger. You call me by my name. Now, that's nice. Now, please, tell me a little about yourself.
Well, my mother can't afford to keep me anymore and is sending me to stay with my uncle and his wife in a place, I think it's called Marathon, Florida, somewhere in the Keys. I think that's where it is. My mother says he has two children and it will be a better place for me to be, and she could go to California. She never talked about him before, and I don't know anything about him or his family. This is my first flight, and I'm afraid of living with someone I don't even know and in a place I don't know either.
The more she talked, the closer she came to tears, and the tighter she gripped Mr. Miller's arm. Her name was Agnes. That she was the only child, that her mother was divorced and was planning to move to California and no longer wanted her around. By now, they were both close to tears. Mr. Miller tried to assure her that the uncle was a good man, otherwise he would not have agreed to take her. She said she wasn't sure he wanted to take her because when she heard her mother call him, she gave him the flight number and then immediately hung up. As the plane began its final approach into Miami, she asked Mr. Miller,
"Will you go with me to meet my uncle when we go into the airport building?"
"Oh, Agnes, I absolutely will. I have time because my next flight doesn't depart for several hours. I will have to ask the stewardess if I can go along, but she will have to accompany us until we can find your uncle. Since you didn't eat your lunch, perhaps we can get you a hamburger and french fries and maybe a soda in the terminal."
"Okay. Can I hold your hand when we get off the airplane? I've never been anywhere, especially on a plane. What if my uncle doesn't like me? If he doesn't, I won't have anyone."
"Oh, sweetheart, here, take my hand and let's go inside the terminal and get something to eat and find your uncle. He, I guarantee you, will be a good man and will be excited not only to see you, but to have you come live with him and his family."
As the plane began its final approach to Miami, little Agnes asked the stewardess if Mr. Miller could go with her to meet her uncle. Luann agreed that Mr. Miller could go along, but she would have to accompany them until the uncle was found. Of course, Miss Wordsmith was hearing all that was being said about our plans to find the uncle. After going to the baggage area to collect her bag, a pitiful, battered little case containing all of her belongings, they continued back to the main terminal to search for the missing uncle.
Now you two go into the dining area and I'll look around the passenger area for your uncle, Agnes. Mr. Miller, see if you can find a table as close to the travelers going to or getting off their plane. This way you might see someone fitting Agnes's uncle's description.
Okay, no problem. We'll get our food and find a good seat to watch for anyone looking for a little girl. Let's go, Agnes. Well, that hamburger sure looks good, and I bet you'd like to have a milkshake as well. Yeah, this is a great table so we can spot your uncle. It may take us a while, as neither of us have ever seen him before. Now, if you see anyone looking in every direction, you let me know. I don't want to leave you alone again like I did on the airplane and have you angry with me.
Mr. Miller, I've been up and down this terminal and asked a dozen or more people if they were awaiting the arrival of an unaccompanied little lady. No luck. I see Miss Agnes is enjoying her lunch, though. I don't blame you, Agnes, as sometimes the airplane food is not to my taste preference either.
Luann, if you don't mind, stay here for a minute with Agnes. I think I might have spotted our missing persons. See that big burly gentleman over there? He sure looks puzzled, and he acts as if he's not sure what he's looking for. I'll be right back. Excuse me, sir. Are you looking for the arrival of a little girl from New York?
Why, yes, I am. And who the heck are you?
Well, sir, please don't get upset with me.
Yes, I am. Who the heck are you?
Please don't get upset with me. I've got your niece's best interest at heart. We were looking forward to finally putting the two of you together. May I ask your name, sir?
The two gentlemen go back to the dining area where we find Agnes drawing the last few drops of the delicious milkshake through her straw.
Agnes, this is your uncle. He's been looking for a pretty little girl about your age. Now, I'll have to leave you two to get acquainted because I have a plane to catch for South America in a couple of hours, and I hope the best for both of you.
Well, I've made a positive identification of you, sir. I need to get back to my crew now for my return trip to New York. Miss Agnes, you need to thank Mr. Miller for being your friend on your first flight today. He's helped me out as well in Eastern Airlines. Mr. Miller, I do hope you have a very enjoyable flight to Rio, and I only wish I were going with you on an Easter plane as your stewardess. Please come back and fly with us again soon.
Oh, thank you so much, Luann. I will write Captain Eddie about a little episode today. It turned out the way it should. I tell you, it was heartbreaking, but I feel sure Uncle John and his family will have nothing but Agnes's best interest at heart.
Mr. Miller, thank you for the time you spent with my niece, Agnes, and if you're ever in South Florida, please look me up. I'm a realtor, and I specialize in selling boating marina businesses. Maybe you, Agnes, and I can go fishing together. Maybe, Miss Luann, you would like to go with us.
Well, I might just take you up on that. I've got my request for a transfer to Eastern's Miami base. I'd love to go fishing with the three of you. Have a great year, you all, this 1959 year.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Miller. I knew we were going on the same flight to Brazil, and maybe we can arrange to be seated together so that I might tell you more of what I will be doing in my missionary work there. Also, I must say, and even though you do partake of the devil's beverage, the way the child clung to you shows that you must indeed have some inner goodness.
Have times changed that much in 54 years? they have in the airline industry, of course, from four-engine propeller-driven aircraft, 100-seat capacity, to four-engine jet aircraft carrying over 500 people. But as for caring and concern for others, is that different today than back in 1959? Are people willing to be involved, as did Mr. Miller in this short skit? It's a new year and time for resolutions that involve caring for others instead of self-seeking and self-centered plans for the coming year. Should all acquaintance forgotten, never brought to mind? Should all acquaintance be forgotten, and all lang syne? For all lang syne, my dear, for all lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet, for all lang syne. Folks, just a few words about the skit that we had for you tonight. It was written by Mr. Howard Mucci. And, of course, Howard played himself in the skit. And he told me this story as we had breakfast one morning, and I thought it was apropos for a skit for our radio show. I hope you've enjoyed it. Of course, we used Eastern Aircraft, and the actual flight that Mr. Mucci took was over to Korea, as Mr. Mucci in those days did quite a bit of traveling. But we hope you enjoyed the little story today. Jim Hart, what's happening up your way?
Well, the Palm Beach chapter of EARA Luncheon will be held on January 19th at 12 noon at the Pegasus Restaurant, 301 North Dixie Highway in Lake Worth, Florida. Their telephone number is 561-588-4463. We have had some excellent meetings, and the last one focused on Alzheimer's and the problems that it presents to many of us as we grow older. Marie McDonald is the educational program manager for the Palm Beach County Alzheimer's Group. She gave us a tremendous program, answered a lot of our questions, and it just goes to show you that having these informational programs is great for everyone, young and old. Now, this coming Thursday, the 19th of January, we're having a guest speaker who is a lifelong numismatist. In other words, he's a coin collector and a man who deals in gold and silver every day of the year. He is the president of the West Palm Beach Coin Club. That's the largest coin club in the entire United States, with 326 members. It is a meeting that I'm looking forward to because I am a life member of the same coin club. This is, I think, a way that we are going to start off the new year on the right track. Now, in February, we have Beverly Bennis, one of our members, who is staying in a particular community that caters to the elderly, and they have invited our entire chapter to their place for lunch. Beverly has it planned again for the third Thursday in February, and we'd like to invite anyone that wants to come and be with us. And if you have any questions, please call me, Jim Hart, area code 561-795-4854. We look forward to having you with us.
There are 20 EARA chapters formed for you to consider joining, one close to you. We've put all the regional chapter meetings on the website, along with meeting dates, time, and place, with chapter presidents and contact numbers as well. So why don't you join a local chapter this year if you're not a member? You'll be welcome to share in the traditional Eastern way of family and friendship. And, Neil, I have a question for you. Is there a local chapter here in the Jacksonville-St. Augustine area?
No, but there should be. There should be. There used to be one a few years back, several years ago, and it had good attendance. I was a member at that time. Then folks got age crept up on them, and we had some people that were dropping out, and so it disbanded. But maybe we can get enough interest to start up again. I think I'll call EARA and find out how we can get one going. Thanks, Margaret, for the suggestion. Bill, are you anywhere near a EARA chapter way out there in Grand Junction, or is there one? Well, let's see. Is Bill with us here? I'm not certain Bill is. Bill?
Hello?
Yes, we hear you now. I just asked the question if you have a chapter out there in Grand Junction of EARA.
I've been told, Neil, that there are 14 retirees in the entire state of Colorado. It seems awful small to me. But most of those folks are over in the suburbs of Denver, which is 250 miles from where I live. So I think for the time being, I will be a chapter of one.
Well, yeah, it would be nice if you could all get together, and perhaps not as frequent. You know, some of the EARA chapters have meetings every 3 months, 2 or 3 months. They don't have them regularly on a monthly schedule like most of them do. But it is nice to attend meetings with fellow former Eastern people. Our website now has some exciting new pages. Just wanted to mention those. We're now including bits of REPA news, the Retired Eastern Pilot Association news, and some Silver Liner news that come our way. The Retired Eastern Pilots Association just had the dedication of all of the pilots that flew for Eastern Airlines that they had engraved, and now it hangs in the Atlanta Hartsfield International Airport. I think Maynard Jackson's name should be in there somehow, but I couldn't figure out exactly how it goes. But at least you know where Atlanta International Airport is. So there you'll find all 6,746 pilots' names. And I think it's over by the AirTrand counter on that wall. So they used to have plaques there that when a pilot passed away, I think once a year they put the deceased pilot's names on there. But now they have included all the pilots because at some point in time, of course, we will all be on that wall, and so they went ahead and did that. A beautiful job that the Atlanta group did to place that in the terminal. You need to go to these pages and often, the chapters that you'll see in there, EARA chapters, would welcome you as a member or affiliate member should you wish to join. Any of these organizations, Silver Liners, of course, are flight attendants. Their purpose really is to keep the memory of Eastern alive and keeping the family in touch with others.
And EAL listeners, did you know you can send us pictures or videos of your chapter meeting for posting on our website? It's another great way to see former colleagues that you haven't seen since it was the way it was. Now, if you have a smartphone, that's a great tool and a means of getting pictures and video clips to us for immediate posting. We're trying to make your website one that will bring you back daily for current events and entertaining news. It is, after all, your website, so please tell us what you'd like to see added. And speaking of adding, we've added Facebook for additional Eastern contacts. It's a secure Facebook page, so log in at the bottom of the homepage, or you may go directly to www.facebook.com/EAL Radio. Neil, I understand that you recently went down to South Florida for the interview with the Shatner Group. That would be the William Shatner Group. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, Margaret, that's good that you brought that up. I was asked to be interviewed by the William Shatner TV Productions and it's called Weird or What. It's a show that's presented on the Discovery Channel, I'm told. The TV show is based on the, this particular TV show is based on the ghost of 401 and the apparitions that were made popular by the book of that title and also by a movie. I think there are two movies that were made by the same name.
How did they find out about your being involved in Flight 401?
Well, I was initially called by the production studio to be a consultant assisting the research department of Shatner's TV Productions, which I agreed to assist. They mainly needed those that had seen these appearances on aircraft that had received parts from aircraft 310, which was a Lockheed L-1011 that had crashed into the Florida Everglades, in which most of these sightings were generated by crew members, executive management folks, and passengers as well. Contacting me was a result of their discovery of our radio program, Episode 42, which was based on that flight and its survivors that we did a few months back.
And, Neil, that led them to asking you for the interview to appear on the show?
Well, after that, their contact with those that had replied to my request for those having seen such sightings, they did ask me to appear in the final filming of the show that they will be airing in the spring of 2012, this year.
Neil, when did you go down for the interview?
Well, I just went down December 18th, and it was scheduled the day for the filming on location for the show down in South Florida, the location that the company is called Cineflix. And they chose a location that I kind of wondered about, but it was down at the Homestead Executive Airport in Homestead, Florida, just about 20 miles south of Miami. It might be a little bit more than 20 miles south, but way west of Homestead. So it really was way out in the boondocks.
Neil, can you tell us what it was like doing the filming and about the location?
Well, the shooting was to begin at 10 a.m. I got there about 9 a.m. And they had a Cessna 182 as a prop with me sitting in the doorway of the aircraft. About 1/2 hour of arranging my big frame in the doorway the way the director wanted, the cameraman and the sound man went to work. So they had to get me exactly the way they wanted to film it. And the director was going to stand directly behind the cameraman and ask me questions about Flight 401's flight from New York to Miami on the evening of December 29th, 1972, until its crash into the Florida Everglades at about, I think it was around 11:54 p.m. The thing is that no sooner than the lights and the camera and the sound started to roll, an aircraft taxied by for takeoff at the airport. Of course, that required to do a retake. What followed was a steady stream of aircraft taxiing, taking off, and landing for the next 3 hours. With each new sound at the airport, it required a repeat of what we had tried to film.
Neil, it certainly doesn't sound like a great idea filming at a busy airport, does it?
Well, you know, that's what I thought too, Jan. What can you expect at an airport on a Sunday morning in South Florida with ceiling and visibility unlimited? We call it an aviation CAVU, CAVU. What can you expect? Nothing but noise. And that's what we got until around 1:30 p.m. when the director finally said, well, that's enough of this plan and this location. And we've got an alternate selected, so we'll go to our alternate location. And I thought to myself, hey, to me that sounded like we couldn't get into our final, our destination airport, and we had to go to an alternate because of fuel. But in this case, it wasn't the fuel problem. It was a noise problem. The director asked if it would be okay to meet the video crew at the Fairchild Botanical Gardens in Coconut Grove. Perhaps some of you have been there. It's a beautiful, beautiful gardens that's located pretty close to Miami. I guess it's in the Coconut Grove, Coral Gables area. And they had surveyed a setting that resembled what you would expect to see in the Florida Everglades. They told me that this was their second choice of location for my interview and that of the Eastern flight attendant that would follow me in the interview of the Discovery Channel program. It would be impossible to go out to the actual location and set up their cameras for the shooting of the video that would be used in this take of the Eastern Flight 401 and the ghost stories that would follow some of the L-1011 aircraft by the apparitions seen by several people that were reported in the book and also in the movie.
And how did the filming at the Botanical Gardens at Fairchild Gardens go?
Well, Jan, it was so funny. You know, I kind of had fun shooting because, first of all, I wasn't getting paid, so I could leave at any time. But these guys, there were three of them, and they had just traveled the world. They had been around the world, and they were finally going home. I think ours was the last shoot, and then they were going for the holidays back to Toronto, Canada, where they're based out of. But a funny thing happened while shooting at this second location. Just as the camera lighting and sound recorders were once again ready to go to make, I guess by now, take number 25, when what do you suppose happened? Well, you might have guessed it. A tram full of parked tourists drove nearly 20 feet from our location, and the driver was using a PA system to tell the folks about the tight vegetation they were seeing in the park. Well, take number 26 started after the last faint sounds were heard from the tram as it moved further on into the jungle. I guess that's about what it kind of looked like as far as the location we were shooting. But just as it was about into the first few seconds of what I thought an Academy Award-winning delivery that we finally were taking, when overhead a Boeing 750 was flying over just above treetop level on final approach into Miami. Now the director really became almost hysterical as we were now up against the clock in darkness to finish my part and do the shooting with the Eastern flight attendant who was on her way to the park. We finished around 4 o'clock that afternoon, at least for my part. It was a long day for me and the crew. They were getting paid for their time. They got me free, as I mentioned, and I didn't even get the green room treatment. I guess they figured the reward of possibly being on the Discovery Channel and interviewed by none other than Captain Kirk of Star Trek fame would be enough for my 15 minutes of fame. Even though William Shatner was not there to do the interview with me, I understand that he is dubbed in during the editing phase, and it appears he's right alongside of the person that's being interviewed. I really give the three guys doing the film a lot of credit, and I wouldn't want to have their job as they travel all over the world for programs and spend very little time at home with their families.
Neil, will you be notified as to the exact date and time the show will be aired?
Yes, they told me that they would let me know in plenty of time that I could get the word out about when it would be. They did mention it would be early spring, they thought, that it would be shown on the Discovery Channel. Again, the name of the show is Weird or What. I have never seen the show myself, but I did look at on the Internet, just in my browser, I put Weird or What, and there are several episodes that you can view. So you'll see the nature of their programming. And I'll put it on the website, and also we'll mention it on the radio, of course. It was really a lot of fun to do. I kind of enjoyed it. Plus, I got to visit my little brother down there. But they did pay for my expenses, so it was very kind of them doing that. Folks, by now you've received the New Year's change letter. And if not, or if you would like to join our Eastern Radio Club, the following is effective as of the beginning of this year. For 1 year now, we have tried to bring you live news, stories, videos, photos, and much more through the website and on the air. But there comes a time when you realize you can't support the cause, even as good as the cause might be. that time has finally arrived. We really thought we would get more support for the creation of the Eastern Radio Show and website since requesting donations shortly after we started this endeavor of love for Eastern Airlines. We have received gifts from 25 donors, not nearly enough anticipated from nearly 670 members we now have. In order to keep the website and show online, we will now turn to a membership-supported EAL radio show and club. Like our other groups, staying in touch with the Eastern family, such as the EARA folks in Miami, REPA, Silver Liners, and some others, I'm sure, and keeping folks informed, we will now ask those who are members and want to help us continue with this effort to pay a very small fee of $10 a year. When we have met our budget, which will be emailed to all members, we will reduce our fee for the following year or eliminate the fee altogether to stay within the not-for-profit status that we have for tax purposes. To subscribe to our website and radio show, go to the website's homepage, and you will see the To Make a Donation icon on the homepage. Click this icon, and you may submit any credit card or use PayPal. If you would rather send in a check for this amount, go to the document page. There is a page that we've just added. It's called Document, Documents. And print out the membership application and send it in with your payment. We hope you understand the reason for us having to do this. No one working on the website or doing the show is paid, and this will remain so, except our producer, who will be paid a nominal hourly fee for only the time he puts into the broadcast. For those 25 contributors that have already made donations, your contributions will be used to offset your dues, and you will not be receiving an email request for a due payment. Thank you so much for your support and making it possible for us to stay on in the air as long as we have, and your continued support would be greatly appreciated. Steve, what's your plans for the new year?
Hi, Neil. Yes, my plans for the new year are to start an internet marketing operation, as well as wait for 6 months until I can get my second-class flight physical back and keep flying.
Hey, Steve, I heard that if you fly real light airplanes, you don't even need a physical. Is that correct?
That's correct. The LSA, all you need is for a to have a driver's license. But I still like to get paid for doing the thing that I love most in life.
There you go. Jim, any big plans for you?
Well, I guess probably the biggest plan, Neil, is taking care of our brand-new Honda Accord that we took delivery of just 2 days ago. I plan to drive it to Martha's Vineyard, and I plan to try to take as good a care of my three leaking heart valves as I can, good enough to fill my plate with lobsters and clams up there as frequently as possible. That's about it.
Yeah, we did get to hear about that this summer, getting those clams and lobsters from your back porch. It sounded really delicious. Bill, how about you out there in Grand Junction?
No clams and lobsters, but we've still got lots of mountains. We'll be traveling east this summer probably to Florida and check in with my 93-year-old mother at the condo, make sure everything is going well with her.
Wonderful. Howard, Jan, let's get Jan in here. How about your plans, Jan, down there in Delray Beach?
Well, as some of you know from LinkedIn, which is the software on the Internet, I recently joined Bristol Properties International in Boca Raton as a broker associate, and I'm focused on commercial real estate. I would enjoy helping customers purchase properties that give them a great return on their investment. As you know, probably real property is a good way to grow money. So that the short answer is, to recap, I'm remaining active and involved in the business world. I also very much enjoy volunteering locally. And with that, I must say I've thoroughly enjoyed volunteering on the EAL radio show program. It's a truly rewarding experience. And speaking about that, I'm sure that the hosts would like to have a backup volunteer for a ladies' role on the air. And if there's anybody out there that would enjoy doing that, because my husband is after me. We just got back from Hawaii, and he's after me to start planning our next vacation. So here we go.
Okay, Jan, and thank you so much for your volunteer work that you do with us here on the show. We appreciate it. Howard, are you still with us? I think Howard is off the air now. Margaret, plans?
Well, I do have a few. Actually, one of them involves you. Neil and I both just took our community association management state exams, and we both passed, fortunately. So we will be starting that up this year in league with our property management division. And also, I have decided to become more involved in some charitable work with some very needy families in Eastern Kentucky. I did that over the Christmas holidays. It was really, really rewarding. And you talk about something that would really just tear at your heart when you see these little children who don't have coats and shoes and things like that. And other than that, I think I'm just going to take some time to relax a little bit and sort of enjoy the year and not put a lot of pressure on myself. How's that?
That sounds like an idea to me. And, Jan, since you're in commercial real estate, let me ask you this. Do you co-op with other realtors?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, perhaps we can, if we do have someone going down your area. Now, you're not doing any residential real estate at all, are you?
Not actually, no. I do refer that within the company of Bristol Properties.
Okay. Okay.
No problem. If you have residential, I certainly can put you in touch with the right people within the company.
Very good. Very good. Eric, do we have a call on 315? I think we do. Eric, code 315, are you with us?
Yes, I am. 315. This is Hank Falker living up in the shoreline of Lake Ontario. I did want to make one comment when you were talking about EAR chapters. When we moved here several years ago, we got asked to join the chapter. I guess they call it Central New York, in Central New York State. We're actually not that far away, but we found out when we went to one of the they meet at breakfast time. And it's quite interesting because Syracuse in the old days, still is probably a small station, but I found out that their EARA membership is composed of Eastern American, Mohawk, and I think another carrier that was in Syracuse here, well, still is perhaps. But it was really interesting because these fellows just have a lot of camaraderie, and although they represent different carriers, they're all basically they are all in a retired status. It shed a light of interest to me. It was quite interesting, really, to meet some of them and talk with some of them,
Hank, what did you do with Eastern?
Oh, gosh, I moved around so much I wore out my book. I was with Eastern, I graduated from college and started with Eastern and was in the beginning of the computer world with a UNIVAC, it was called UNIVAC 490 machine, which didn't work too well in the beginning. It oversold the capacity at times and I think caused some embarrassment at some of the stations when they announced boarding for a flight and found out they'd sold the airplane over twice or three times. And that really did happen in Baltimore and a few other stations. But I was in marketing and field sales, and that's where this good friend Jim Hart has found me again. But I was a manager in Philadelphia and then moved at the request of the company, although they called it a promotion. I moved to Detroit as manager of sales and service, and then got the job in Washington as a manager, area manager, passenger sales, and I was doing well there, living there, and then all of a sudden I got a call from an attorney. Well, he represented the MWAA, the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority, but he was actually trying to recruit somebody or several people because ANA, All Nippon Airways, was planning in 1985 to start Dulles Tokyo nonstop. And I responded that I had never been in Japan and probably would stand no chance, you know, of any job. But that's a lot of encouragement, a level of encouragement, which surprised me. I did go in for an interview to a boardroom, actually a group of attorneys, over on 8th Street in downtown, in the District of Columbia. And then I was called back for another interview. And this went on. The Japanese are extremely thorough. Well, in short story ending, I was hired as their first American employee, and they didn't even have titles at that time because they didn't really have any offices in the United States. They were planning, though, to launch the first nonstop Dulles Tokyo in slightly over a year away. Well, it went on, and I went with them, and I spent 15 years with ANA, many, many trips to Tokyo, as you can imagine. And, of course, now some of you probably recognize that, you know, they go daily out of New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and as well out of Dulles. Dulles now goes across with a 777, which is the long-range version, because from Dulles it's a 13-hour, 20-minute in-the-air operation. And I still get a couple of passes a year for my wife and I. But I went to Japan so many times in my 15 years, I really have no interest yet to go back. But it was a great company. They taught me Japanese, tutored me privately with some sort of a linguist, I guess, from Georgetown University, and I learned business Japanese. And all I can say is I wish they had found me earlier in my life. But it was very nice.
When did you go with ANA?
I went with ANA in November
85. What type of airplane were they using overseas?
They were using the Japanese made quite a, you know, a deal out of it. In fact, I was out at Boeing in some place called I can't think of the city north with the huge hangar up there, begins with an L, I think.
Everett.
Everett. It was Washington. North of Seattle, but quite a ways north. It was a huge Boeing hangar. In our first delivery, it was a 747-200, and we got nine of those airplanes, and then transitioned slowly into the Dash 400 with the, what do they call the little things on the end of the wing, winglets?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, winglets, I guess. Yeah, we flew the 400 for several years. The 200 had a problem with range in that in October, November, and December sometimes, we'd have to stop the airplane either in Anchorage on the way over or somewhere else. And it only happened to me once. I was on the airplane, and they announced, I was sitting in business class, actually, they announced that they were going into a place called Chitose, which is in Sapporo, northern Japan, about probably close to 350 miles north of Japan. We landed at a isolated base, and the first thing I saw that reminded me of an airline was I saw a set of boarding steps that said JAL on them. And we stopped there, and we took on several thousand pounds of fuel and then continued on down to land at Narita, the big international airport in Tokyo. So that's the story of that. But now with the 777, it's just, to me, fantastic. That thing leaves Dulles, and it never has to stop for fuel. It just goes to Narita Airport in Japan, and it does that every day.
Are they planning on purchasing the 787, the Dreamliner?
Yes. In fact, they were the delivering carrier. I have several pages of copies. ANA got the first delivery of that airplane. Some of you must have seen all their Bukila they had on the networks, and they are getting 40 of those things. They placed the first order, United followed, and then Continental followed. But they have the first, by now, I think now, the end of December, they have the second and third, perhaps, but they're getting a total of 40. But they're going to fly them such locations as Tokyo, Guam, Tokyo, Okinawa, Tokyo, Hong Kong, Bangkok. I can't think of some of the Chinese cities. We fly daily to Beijing and the other big city. I can't think of it. But they're flying it into Dalian, China, and so forth. But they're not going to use it across the pond, so to speak, that I know of.
Okay, that's really interesting, very interesting. So you've had a long career in aviation. How many years were you with Eastern?
I was with Eastern, let me see. Got out of college 34 years.
Wow, my goodness.
Yeah, and really loved it a lot. And this opportunity came along, and my experiences those years with ANA, of course, the Japanese, you run right into the Japanese philosophy. The older you are, the better they like you. So it was kind of neat. Yeah, and as I said, I was the first American hired, and we assembled my group of about 15 there at 16th and L Streets in Washington, and it was just a fantastic group of people, really. I made 23 separate trips over to Japan and so forth.
Wow.
It was just
Where are
a
you
wonderful,
living now, Hank?
I'm living in a small town east of Rochester, and we purchased my wife's, her name used to be Wadsworth, we purchased what they called a Wadsworth plot, I think, 23 acres on Lake Ontario, and most of it, well, all of it, except for the acre that our house and a few buildings make up. It's just really on Lake Ontario, and that's where I live now. We basically are more or less tuned into things in Rochester, although Syracuse is not far away because we're just on a little bit of a quadrant pinnacle that is kind of in between the two cities, but seems like most of the population is oriented to things in Rochester, which, of course, is a fairly big city.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, Hank.
Hey, thank you very much for that. Didn't have a single drink either.
We have a caller on the line from area code 410. Let's see if we can connect the phone, see if area code 410. Do we have a caller from the area code 410? Okay, if you press 1, you can talk, and it connects with our show. Okay, folks, we're just about out of time, and I see we've got about 1 minute left, and so we'll wrap up our show at this point, and we hope you will join us again next Monday. We've really got an unusual program for you next Monday, a show that I think you'll really be enjoying because it's the new age of flying airplanes, and it'll be our 51st live broadcast. So from all of your hosts and the Eastern family, I will say tonight, where all the women are unequal and all the men are good-looking and all the children and grandchildren are above average. Margaret?
Good night, Neil, Jim, Bill, Steve, Jan, Howard, and our great producer, Eric.
Good night, Margaret, Bill, Steve, Jan, Neil, Jan, Howard, and how about Hank up there in New York State?
We'll have a good evening. Thank you very much for having me aboard.
Good night, Margaret, Jim, Steve, Neil, Jan, Howard, and you too, Hank.
Okay, thanks for that.
Good night, Margaret, Bill, Jim, Neil, Steve, Howard, and Eric behind the scenes, but very valuable.
I think Howard is gone, and he's already said good night to us. Steve, good night.
Yes, good night, Margaret, Bill, Jim, Neil, Jan, Howard, and Eric. Happy New Year, everybody.
Thanks so much. Good night, everyone.
Happy New Year, everyone, from West Palm Beach.
Happy New Year, and this is to Hank, also from Luann. So good night, y'all. Make sure you fly right side up. See you next week.
Thank you, Luann.
Good night.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Good night, Eastern family.